Hi, welcome to the Arts Hour. This is your host, Steph Duris, and my co-host, Carl Smith. Welcome, Carl.
Hello.
This episode, we take you to the Gallery of Modern Art, where we interviewed Belgian installation artist Arno Quins. He was recently in Brisbane, where he announced that he would be creating a new installation outside the Queensland Theatre Company's South Brisbane headquarters on Montague Road.
We're going to begin today by playing the interview that Steph and I recorded before Arno's talk at GOMA on the 16th of March. After that, we're going to play the talk, which includes an introduction from the Queensland Theatre Company's Executive Director, Sue Donnelly. We hope you enjoy the show, and we'll see you guys next week. On the Arts Hour today, we're joined by Arno Quins. He's a Belgian-based artist who's here at GOMA at the moment, presenting a talk on some of his installation pieces. Welcome to the show, Arno.
Thank you.
Could you try and explain to an audio audience what your public installations look like, perhaps using your favorite example?
That is not an easy question. I think first you need to understand that my public installations are really, I consider them as social art installations, and there's a big difference between to install a sculpture or a public installation. It's an installation, it really works on the experience when you walk through it. And I work on two different type of installations, are the metal installations and is wooden installations. And the size, they go from, let's say, the small installations, it's 30, 40 meters wide, till the longest one in wood that we're preparing now, it's in Kentucky. It's about a kilometer long, and in Belgrade, it's a metal installation. The longest one is 650 meters long. So high, it's got to 16, 20 meters high. So a little bit to understand this size, that we don't speak about a sculpture, but really an installation where you need to walk through that has a certain effect on people.
Now, I've read, like you were saying, that your work provokes people. It gets them out of their shells and gets them talking to one another. I wonder if you could sort of broadly explain the intent behind your art.
Today we live in a very fast world. We have friends all over the world, Facebook, Twitter, all these things, but we don't have any contact anymore with our neighbors. And I think this social contact, especially in cities, is really, really important. So when my fight is to bring art in cities, and for the reason is to reconnect people. And why I do this is that I saw through my installations that these installations became really like meeting points. They had, as a market, 100, 200 years ago, they had a function. It's really to speak with your neighbors, to give the news. Everybody knew what happened in their village or their city or their street. And today, when I see everybody running through the cities, this kind of installations, they really slow down people, they stand underneath, they walk through, they have their kind of smile. When they have a smile on your face, it's so much more easier to communicate, because for a moment you forgot who you are, and that is nice. The other thing, the fight that I have to bring this public installations in cities, is that education is a really important thing in our society. And I think education, especially through culture. It can be music, it can be books, it can be opera, it can be theater, it can be art, installations, sculptures in the street. And I think how higher our culture education, how higher our society is, and how more we can relativate in life, how more, I think in the end we will have just a much better life. So this fight to bring art in the street is really important, because we have only 1 or 2% of the public go to operas and theaters, etc. So I think we need to reverse that and to confront really people with that in the streets, so that the next step to go to a museum or an opera is much smaller than before.
So it's sort of like bringing the art to the people then?
No, it's really important to confront people with art. If they like it or not, that's another question. Art, not everybody needs to like it. I think it's about to create a beginning of a conversation, and if that's already the first step, that's a big step.
Now, I've also seen your work described as a cocoon, as a mesh that encases people. Would you agree with this? And if so, why do you try and achieve this?
On certain yes and another not. The wooden installations works more as something very comfortable, as a nest, something very safe home feeling. The metal ones that I'm preparing now, I call them rock strangers. That's one of the type of the metal installations that I work. That's just to create the opposite. It's just to, because we live in a very well-protected world, everything we need to color very well between the lines. And this society, I think, we the safe garden where we live in, also in our mind, I think what we do with the estrangement, what with strange, if something strange happens in our life, and it can be in a very large view. I don't speak about different cultures, just what we do if we wake up in the morning and we have this huge strange rock in our safe garden. Do we embrace it? Do we reject it? And et cetera, et cetera. So that's really a question. And I travel a lot and around the world. And for me, I see what kind of culture is that everybody is always building the safe lines, the safe borders around them. And sometimes very difficult to respect the uninspected or to handle the uninspected, to the estrangement, to many people push it away or condemn immediately things so for me it's really this fight to put this question, really to confront them with this question. So this kind of rocks that I built now the installation in Belgium at the coast, and it's an installation I think 100 meters wide, and the biggest rocks are I think 10, 12 meters high, in metal, on 4 or 5 meters wide. And believe me, if you see this kind of rocks in front of you, I think that's the rock that takes the power over you, and not the opposite. And we don't need to, we can't forget that we are very small on this planet.
Well, I think you may have just answered the next question I was going to ask you, which is that it seems that you're often trying to create a safe environment for participants. However, in a lot of your works, you use fluorescent paint. Wouldn't a harsh, bright color sort of jerk people out of their normal lives? But I think you've sort of answered that by saying that you're trying to.
The color for me that comes many times back is this orange-red color in my work. And that's for me the most human color that I could think about, because there's a color in nature is or to attract or to afraid. It can be color of fire. You can warm your hand, but you can burn your fingers. It can be color of blood. It's or dead or life. And we as humans, we are full of contradictions. So that is the reason that I choose that color. It's really a human color. And that when you add this on this large scale installations, is people will feel pushed away. But many of them feels very attracted, and I think that is this nice to create this double feeling, just to walk on this line, on which side of the line I will go. Yeah.
I suppose you're trying to invoke a strong emotion either way, and then certain people can connect over that strong emotion.
I think art, I think it's a strange thing. I think we speak really about emotions and ideas and concepts and etc. And some people really like it, and some people not. But I think it's good to confront them with that. I think it's really already the step to confront them with this kind of installations of any art, is that people start to think. And I think some people sometimes they forgot to think.
Now, Anna, you started as a graffiti artist in Brussels. Has public art always been something that you wanted to get involved in?
In the 80s, I made a lot of graffitis. I was one of the first ones that sprayed on many trains and subways and inside of the subway stations. But for me, it was really to I made this large scale drawings and really graffitis, not the tags, but really the graffitis. And for me, it was really to give something, as to share the, what I was doing. And that is what you can see today in my work. I'm still on make this that work in street, in public art. And for me, the most beautiful thing is to be able to share and to give this kind of installations. And because I really believe in the effect what this will have on a social level. So for me, the moment that I build this installation and I can cut the ribbon through, it belongs to the people of that city, of that village or area or country. And that's for me that gives me the biggest satisfaction in my whole work. And the same I had this with my graffitis. I was really there, I think one of the first in the 80s in Belgium. There was almost no graffitis. And I remember in the night, I went the night or two nights before with my white paint latex and I paint the whole wall in white, one, two layers to give really a nice undercoat layer. And then after, I went with my letters and all thing, and I paint huge things. And at that moment, even sometimes the workers on the train rails, they came with big lights to illuminate my work while I was working. So I had many times I ran also fast away from because I had people running behind me. But that gave me the first contact with the street, and also there the exchange that I had already at that time with other graffiti artists from New York, I sprayed together with Futura 2000, Blade, with Quick. That's the older generation. Already this network that I had then between all different artists. I think it's today the same. I think many artists on the planet, we exchange things, we help each other because we have all the same fight to make a better environment for not only for ourselves but for the rest. Yeah.
Now, my co-host Steph has a couple of quick questions before we let you get to the talk. So I'm going to pass over to her now.
So I was just wondering, we've talked a lot about you've talked about how Australians are more polite than back in Belgium. So I was wondering, how do you think creating an artwork in Australia would differ from creating one back home or like in Europe?
There is absolutely no any difference. For the simple reason, whatever kind of culture, history of which side of the planet you live, we are just all humans. And we know from experience because we really built, I think Australia was the last continent that I didn't build an installation. And sorry, the effect that this will have on the people, it will be exactly the same that will have on the Belgian people or Chinese people or African or South American people. The thing is that before we build an installation, we really come on the spot and we really look at the whole history of that location, the architecture around that location. So we really adapt our installations through that location. So there's a lot of studies are going before we build an installation. It's 1 or 2 years of preparation before we start. Yeah.
And so you use a lot of recycled materials. Is there like an environmental reason behind this, or is there a story behind that?
For our wooden installations, it's two types of wood, or it's wood that comes from Sweden. It's a controlled cut forest wood, that means from the trees that we use, that are trees really planted to be cut, and the amount of money that we buy them, they use this money to plant another trees again. Is that the other side is that I buy wood from all over the world that is like second or third hand wood that cannot be used anymore for construction, and I collect them to build my installations with it. And the other thing is that with this really large scale installations that I built out of pine wood, there's wood that we treat really special with minerals that this wood contains, that it resists forever through snow, sun, and etc., and freezing, and depends where you build, is that some of the installations, they are only temporary, and when I take them down, I recycle them 100%, and they are recycled to wooden panels to construct. So the recycling is, I think, is really, really, really important. And I think if you do this, if you use such an amount of materials, even if you do small things, you need really to consider that you live on planet Earth, and don't forget this.
Now, Anna, whilst we've got you here, just to finish up, we might just ask you, you're in Australia at the moment talking at the Gallery of Modern Art. Do you have any plans to create something whilst you're here in Australia?
But that's the reason that you're here. I hope for the end of the year we will come back and with my team and to build just in front of the Queensland Theatre a huge installation from, I think, what is it, 60, 80 meters long. Yeah, that's why we are here for. So we're doing all the studies and all the connections and et cetera, et cetera. So I think you will see us back in the end of the year.
Belgian-based artist Arno Quins, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sue Donnelly. I'm the executive director of Queensland Theatre Company. QTC and me in particular, we're really excited about this project, and particularly for someone who's coming from another city. And one of the reasons I chose to come to Brisbane was because of the energy and vitality I can feel here, and the sense of optimism and expansion, and, you know, giving those southern states a run for their money in terms of art. And of course, Brisbane's been leading the way with this wonderful institution of GOMA. But we want to do it in theatre as well. And we want to have some signature events, like in terms of performance, but we also want to make our home down in Montague Road very exciting and a place that people want to go to. And that's why we really wanted to engage in trying to get something significant in terms of public art brought to our building, if we can possibly do it. And there's a certain synergy in terms of Arne's work and QTC. We've both sort of... it's quite apparent, I think, in our branding that our work, like Arne's, reflects energy and dynamism of colour and structure in an organic form, whereas what we've been doing is in our branding is sort of two-dimensional. With Arne's work, it's a three-dimensional. It's out there, it's big, people can engage in it. And, you know, the other thing we really like about it is the fact that his work has a big effect on various communities, and it enables people to come together and to start a conversation. And, you know, complete strangers come together. I mean, we've spoken with him before. They come under the structures that he builds, and they come around it, and they share. And in this way, it's very similar to what theatre is about, because theatre is about bringing people together, communities of people together, to share and engage in wondrous things, but in imagination and in creativity. And so we definitely think there's a very strong synergy between both what QTC is aiming to do and the work of Arne. So we're really lucky to have him here. I know it's a wonder he's still awake, actually, because he's been having such a hectic schedule since the beginning of the week when we first met. And, you know, he's going to talk to you, obviously, but, you know, he's so busy. I understand that he's currently got 6 large-scale exhibitions on at the moment and 20 public art projects on the go. And that this year he's going to be working in Brazil, New York, Shanghai, Miami, Moscow, and in Brisbane with us. So you can see how we're trying to punch above our weight here. And while, look, obviously a project of this scale is really often beyond the imagining of a kind of a mere theatre company, we're really hopeful about getting something happening. And for that reason, we're extremely grateful for the financial assistance that's come from the Queensland Government through Art in Place, which is a Queensland Public Art Fund, because otherwise... this trip wouldn't have been made possible, the exploration of what's going to happen. And we're also really thankful to GOMA for having us here, because we like doing things together and cooperating. And with that, and given I've been so late, I'm going to hand you over to the man of the moment, and I'll sit down and listen. Thanks so much for coming.
So before to present the installation, the work that I want to bring here in Brisbane, is I want to present you some of my work. And one of the first ones that I did in, it's not the first one, in 2006, because I started 15 years ago, but this one is a special one, is at the Burning Man. They ask us to come and to build an installation. So when we sent our first proposal, they thought really it was a joke, because the Burning Man is a festival, and everything what you build there is that you need to burn it down. So that was the first time and the last time also that I burned one of my things down, and I'll explain you later. So when we sent the proposal to come over and to build this installation, 25 meters high and 60 meters by 60 meters, they really thought, these guys are completely nuts. So the day of the opening that we could start to construct, I was there with plus minus 50 people and a lot of trucks and cranes and food and water, etc., etc. Because there in the desert is absolutely nothing. When I say nothing, the only thing that we can find there is only dust and sun. And it's a lot of sun, and it's very dry. So to give you an example, here we used 120 kilometers of wood, and only the fact to drink and to cook and to wash, you know, these blue bottles that you have in companies when you can put your glass under, we had 2,000 of them with us. We used more than 100 cream to protect us to the 100 liter to protect us to the from the sun. So that's small figures, but to understand, to be able to build this is a huge work behind to be able to build this thing. To build this one, it was a tough one. We built it in 4 weeks, but to build this in this kind of conditions between 40 degrees in the day and between 0 and 5 degrees in the night, believe me, that is rough. We had three shifts, and I was the lucky one. I was in all the three shifts. So believe me, after 4 weeks, it was really heavy. It's also emotional heavy, because if you work with a team during 4 weeks in the desert, in the sun, and when you build up these things, not everything is always going well, because you work with humans, you work with people, and in this kind of conditions, we had several, it's not really fights, but a heavy tensions. When we built this one, we had a party for 4 days in it. That was a good thing. But during this party, we had plus minus 2,500, 3,000 people inside of this thing. And that was the moment that we could celebrate. Most of my work stays longer than a couple of days. But this one was really, strange, because we could not really live these things, because when we build it in cities, you have the time to enjoy them for years. But there was only for 4 days. So the day that we need to burn them, I was working with people that create these fire bombs, and there was a nice side that I, with these pyramids, how do you call this, people that like to burn? Yeah, pyrotechnics. That was a nice experience. But for me, believe me, when you build this such thing up, and you worked for such a long time in these things, and you need to burn down your own thing, believe me, that's rough. That's really rough. The flames went up 100 meters high. We created a perimeter of 130 meters around, and not only for the heat, but we knew that we will suck all the air out, and there we create 5 or 6 tornadoes. But why I said in the beginning that will be my last thing that I burned down, believe me, is that the emptiness that was this thing created in us, we built this thing, it was so huge. It was really huge. Still now when I'm talking about, I'm still remember this moment. And first of all, never try this thing at home to burn such an installation down. Believe me, when you're squeezed between these flames on one side and the other side, 45,000 people that are screaming there, this experience was huge. It really was huge. Cityscape Brussels was an installation that we built in the center of Brussels. There was we built this at the border of actually the higher part of the city and the lower part of the city. And that is the higher part was more the rich part, and the lower city was more the working part of the city. And the ground that we developed there was an empty ground. There was a lot of drugs addicts, homeless people, etc., etc. And in that part of the city, they asked us, "Really, can you recreate the nice ambience that we had before. So we developed this installation, and I think one of the most beautiful compliments that I ever had with this installation was a handwritten letter from a woman, I think she was 70 plus, and she said, "Finally, I speak again with my neighbors." So there the thing is that we really build this installations in city to recreate communication inside the cities between people. Because before we had markets, and in the market we 100 years, 50 years ago, there we give the news to each other, we spoke with each other. Now we have friends all over the world, and we chat, and we have Facebook friends, but we don't speak anymore with our neighbors. So we rush through cities, and for me this public installations is really to, in a certain way, to slow down people, but also to install this communication between people. And we saw really that it's working, because when we installed this installation, the whole area around the bars, restaurants, the museums, etc., was really that gave such a boost that this whole area was really living again. This installation, normally it was mentioned to stay 1 year before they will construct this building on it, and then in the end it stayed 2 years, and then they asked us to break it down because they had the permits. And when we broke it down after two months, the permit they canceled it. And so today the ground is still empty, and you can feel that this whole area is going down. The good thing is that when we take this thing down, is that I think we create also that emptiness that people really start to think about, wow, we need really to do something with our cities. And that is also the thing that I like with these temporary installations. Not all my installations are temporary, most of them stay. But I like also the temporary installations. You think it's really chaotic, these installations? I think they're absolutely not. Because first of all, I don't believe in chaos, because after chaos, I believe only in structure. And I think this installation, I think before, like I mentioned before we install these things, is that the studies that we have before with the engineer and architects, etc., to be able to build this, and all these things we have this in our own studio. Because believe me, in the beginning when I tried to find an engineer that could deliver me the signed papers of to be able to build this, it was very difficult to find. And so that we developed this 15 years ago with an engineer in a computer model to be able to calculate all the power of wind, snow, it can be earthquakes, it can be rain, etc., on these installations. And today we have an experience. We worked on several parts on the world, and we have pictures already with installations with a meter, 2 meters snow in it, in wind. A day we had a twister went through our installations, and all the things around flied away, popped up, and our installation was still there. So it's really, I think it's working. It's an installation. It's built about crosses and triangles that we connect them together in three-dimensional, and that's how this thing is strong enough to stay up. The Flemish Parliament, the good thing about this, that was for the politics, that I built this in Belgium, and I don't know if this, you saw this in the news, but we had for more than 2 years no any government in Belgium, and that was the moment in Belgium that everything worked so well. That was a good thing. But while I was building this, before we had this political crisis in Belgium, is that that's my only installation that stayed there 2 years without any permits. So there was the other funny thing, that you build this for politicians. And there in the left corner, you see the size of these people standing there under the installation, so you can understand a bit the size of this installation. It's about 100 meters long and 20 meters high. And there's also, we covered a street, so the cars and the buses driving underneath. Before, there was a street that nobody went in except the politics. And why I did this installation, they asked me today to make an installation inside of their building to try to attract people, and I refused to build inside the building because there are only politics inside of the building. So for me it was a fight to build this outside of the building, and there I connected the two parliaments. So here you can see in the left side the picture in the winter and one in the summer, so the trees are really growing through it. And we don't touch the building, even if you have the feeling touch buildings really growing between. And that's in a day in the weekend. So you see from really an empty street what it does in the week. Rouen, France, that was a special one. That's an installation. Rouen, France, they asked me, it's next to Paris. And there we built an installation over the Seine. And it's an installation, it's 140 meters long. It's about 120 tons that we put on the bridge. So you can really imagine the calculations that we had to be able to build this one, and especially for the wind. The funny story here again also is that first I will tell the name. The name Camille is because it's the wife of Monet. Monet painted many times this bridge. And that's why I called Camille. It was really to make this love story, a bridge on a bridge. And it was really to connect Rive Gauche and Rive Droite. Rive Droite. That's the left side and the right side of this city. Because the left side, it was really the bourgeoisie, and the right side, it was really the industrial area. And on that installation, there was... First, we closed down the bridge, and if you can imagine that on that bridge, there is more than 40% of traffic went over that bridge. So when we closed that bridge in the beginning, we had a lot of people that tried to break down our fences because they want really to use that bridge. And not the other bridge was 250 meters on the left and 250 meters on the right. It was their bridge. And the funny thing is that while we start to build this installation up, more and more people start to like it. And in the end is that because it was an installation only was there for 3 months, and on this 3 months we had plus minus 2 million visitors. And in the end, and we didn't know this, we knew this just after, is they signed a huge petition, and the last night they were there with I think a couple of thousand people with this candlelight because we were building up in China. And that was the last day before they break down. They were all sitting under that bridge, and it was very, very nice. See, you see here just in a common evening how this brings people together. That was for the 14th of July. That was the national party of France. And you can see that the reason that we only burned one down at the Burning Man is that all my other installations are very well protected against fire. So don't try to burn it. It will never work. So you can see here that we shoot a firework through from the installation down over the Seine. The other thing that I forgot to tell about Rouen, funny story, it was the mayor invited us to build this installation, and the first prime minister of France was from an other politic side, and they were really in big fights between each other. And then when the first minister in the beginning, he was against it, and when he saw how many attention we had with this installation and how it was really supported by public, is that at the opening they were best friends. He was there to cut also the ribbon. So it works on many, many levels. So we have always a lot of jokes and fun to be able to bring this kind of installations in cities. Louisville, it's a little bit the same story as Rouen. There was they asked me to come over to Louisville and to build an installation, and they showed me some areas and markets and so on. So I said, no, this old bridge that is not used anymore. It was an old train bridge, about 1 kilometer long, that connect Kentucky with Indiana. And there's not such a good understanding between these two cities. And I have already a lot of fun to be able to connect these two cities. So it's an old bridge, and we will weave this installation about a kilometer long. But for me, was also my fight is to make that platform as more as an open-air museum, as an open platform that other young artists could performance dances, music, light shows, whatever. And this we are working now on. They take all the rails off. They're installing the ground floor. And then if everything is going well, we can start in 2014 to build these things. It's really, really to... We cannot have a better... That's not a real installation. That's just making of. It's really... We cannot have a better image to show how we can make bridges between people. A day I had a good question. I make also a lot of smaller work. Not all my works are so big. So a day they asked me to make my self-portrait, and I said, wow, that's a good question, how I would make my self-portrait. So I didn't want to paint again with my old paints when I did before. And this is my self-portrait. So you see, the glass cube, it's present the crane, the bones, and what is inside is that this is what is happening inside of my brains. And you think it's chaos, but I don't believe in chaos. It's only structure. And that is how I think I am. And from this chaotic structure, I say I have a lot of energy is going in my body, a lot of life is going through it. So I start to make that this waves. And then you see in the back, you see the mirror. And this mirror is really how I am. I think for a part, I'm really open, and another part, I'm closed. But a part I'm open is this mirror. When you look into my work, you have already a half step in my life. And that's the part where I'd like to share. And then I make installations like this. You can imagine that we worked more than 700 hours just to glue these little sticks one by one in these glass boxes. Now, why I'm here for? Queensland Theatre. I think we as artists, we can have so many ideas that you want. We can have the greatest drawings, the greatest sculptures, but I think without people as you that believe in us and that give us a chance to be able to build these things, we will in the end be just nothing. So again, it's thank you for this, to have us here, to give us a chance to build this thing. And how it works, so we came here first, we looked through, they sent us a lot of pictures, we played with Google Earth, to watch what he was doing here, et cetera, et cetera. But this week, we were here the whole week just to have the conversations and to have the exchange, what is really happening here, culture-wise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this was the first model that we want to build just in front of the theater house, is really to bring the experience, the feeling, the what is happening, the culture of this theater outside to the street and to share that with the rest of the people in Brisbane. So that's the first model. Now, after this week, when we go back to Belgium, we will work on it, and I think in the next weeks we will finish the next model, and also with the research that we had with everything here, what happens in Brisbane, we will be able to do, I think, the presentation in one or two months. I think we will send it. Why I send you this image is to show the shadows that we create under the installation. And what we will do is that under this installation, because we cannot dig in the street to put these columns, to attach these columns to be able to build the installation, is that we will create these big concrete benches where these beams, these big wooden beams, will be attached in the thing. So there is really to connect people that they can sit in the shadow, and I hope that times they will be able to close that street and that the theater could perform under that installation. That would be great. That's really the moment that they will be able to share what they are doing, and not in that closed black box in the theater, but really to bring it out to public. So again, there's the shadow. So that is what I would love to bring here to Brisbane the end of the year. Thank you.